You are listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. You're joined by myself, Lawson. We've got Nikita in the studio as well. Producer Shell, getting it done, making sure that you can hear us, that we're on the air and whatnot. Super blessed to be with you. Right now, it is time to get into our next quiz question. If you can get that for us, Nikita.
Can do. Which apostle told Christ he had left all to follow him, James or Peter? So which apostle told Christ he had left all to follow him? Is it James or Peter?
Hey, it's a one or two of two answer here. James or Peter. If you know the answer, let us know. Hey, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. If you do, you will go into the draw to win three volumes of Amazing Facts.
303
of them. Well, they're 101 each, so that's 303 total amazing facts. Let me tell you an amazing fact right now about one of my favorite animals, the dolphin.
Ooh,
okay, here we go.
Yes.
We've all heard the expression, a dog is a man's best friend. That might be true while on land, but in the ocean, it seems that a man's best friend might be a dolphin. Maritime history is filled with stories of dolphins helping drowning sailors, protecting people from sharks, or guiding vessels through treacherous waters. In 2004, for instance, a group of swimmers were being stalked by a 10-foot great white shark off the coast of New Zealand. Suddenly, a pod of dolphins herded the group together, circling around them for 40 minutes until the large predator turned away. In another case, when 12 divers were lost for more than 13 hours in the Red Sea, dolphins surrounded the entire team, the entire time and repelled sharks that inhabited the area. When a rescue boat came near, the dolphin pod showed the recovery team where the stranded divers were by leaping into the air and jumping around towards the swimmers. Likewise, in the year 2000, a group of dolphins led two fishermen to discover a six-year-old Alain Gonzalez floating in the inner tube out of the at the Atlantic Ocean after a boat carrying him and 11 other Cuban refugees sank. Did you know that God has often used animals to rescue his people? So Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook.
That's from 1 Kings 17:5-6.
So yeah, guys, these are amazing facts. We want to give these to you absolutely for free. I think we've read a total of 5 amazing facts out through this week. We have 303 of them in these three volumes. We want you to get in the answers for this quiz again. Which apostle told Christ he had left all to follow him? Was it James or Peter? Hey, let us know. 0491-064-669. Got a few text messages coming through. Firstly, here from Johanna. She says, the idea of euthanasia concerns me in that it shortens one's lifespan, because we don't know how the Holy Spirit can use that lost time to change their lives. When my granddad went into a nursing home after my grandma had passed away, dementia had an impact on his life for the time he was in the nursing home, about 2 years. But during that time, my dad would read the Bible to my granddad, which hadn't happened ever before, and my granddad ended up giving his life to Jesus. And yeah, these amazing stories coming from this, not only of people making amazing decisions like that in the last days of their life, like Johanna's granddad here, but also of people miraculously recovering as well. And I really believe to shorten that ability, or to shorten the ability that one has to be able to go through that is really terrible. And I think, again, the emotional argument of someone in pain who is dying, like, I understand it. I understand where they're coming from. I understand. But again, when the legislation leaves the door open for people who have mental illnesses to be able to receive voluntary assisted dying. And this isn't even like, you know, the death penalty for the criminally insane, which is one thing. You know, if you committed you were insane, so you committed like terrible, awful crimes. Like that's one argument. No, we're talking about someone being like, I am in such mental distress that I think that I should end my life. When the legislation in Queensland is opening the door for someone to be able to do that, I just don't think it's a positive thing. Hey, let us know what you think though. 0491-064-669. 0491-064-669. Yep, that's the number. Just making sure I said it right there. Hey, Tracy writes in and says, there's a vegan cafe here in Brisbane that sells vegan vanilla slices. Unfortunately, we're here in Newcastle. Maybe there's a vegan cafe somewhere around here that does that.
Maybe.
We're talking about vanilla slices earlier in the show and how amazing they are. But, you know, maybe somewhere here in Newcastle. And then also Rowan. Rowan writes in, hey, Lawson, want good food? Hope you got my invite. Now, this is funny. This is funny because Rowan was the winner of a cookbook of ours 3 weeks ago. And, and the cookbooks always come with like a cut, well, an invite from the Faith FM hosts, which is if you win a cookbook, we always promise that we can at some time in maybe either the near or the distant future rock up to your house and come over and you can cook food for us from that cookbook. And Rowan won the cookbook. It actually sent me a text message on Facebook the other night saying, hey, Lawson, you know, come over for food. So, hey, look, we're going to have to line that up. We're going to have to get over there. Hey, 0491-064-669 is our number to text. We have another text message here from Wayne. He says, have you seen the movie about the man that had a pet octopus? It's a really good movie to watch. And I think referencing the amazing fact there about the dolphins, I think octopuses are like quite smart as
they
well.
Are.
Like really smart animals and can do various interesting things. And then there's like particularly the octopuses that can like camouflage themselves and whatnot, and they're like stealthing around. Very interesting animals.
They're
like
a sea chameleon, you can say.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, just the things they're able to do. It's just amazing.
The creatures that God has made are absolutely fascinating. Like going back to the dolphins, actually, I watched a documentary a while back where it was talking about dolphins working with fishermen to actually help gather the fish so the fishermen can catch it, and then they end up feeding the dolphins in the end. So it's a win-win bargain.
Dude, the dolphins are snitches, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, the dolphins, they're like, I'm not a fish. I'm a mammal. I'm with, you know.
Yeah, I'm with the humans.
I'm going to help them out. Wow, that's
incredible.
And then
I get food in the end.
Yeah,
so
that's amazing. That's so hectic. Oh, man. Hey, if you have any interesting animal stories, let us know what your favorite animal is and why.
Yes.
And, you know, if they're intelligent or not intelligent.
Any interesting facts about them?
I'm a huge fan of penguins. Penguins are like my favorite animal. I love penguins because they slide around on their belly and they look really cute and all that stuff. But then also, like, they're a very communal animal. They huddle together and travel together in packs. And they I'm pretty sure penguins mate for life as well. And the mother and the father looks after the egg. It's like the bird equivalent of, like, the human family. So I think penguins are just awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
What's your favorite animal?
Oh, I have many favorite animals. I'm thinking of weird facts, though, of animals. I think sperm whale.
Okay.
Or even a giraffe as well, because I have really odd facts on them.
Yeah, okay. What's an odd giraffe fact?
The neck muscle that the giraffes have, actually are very similar to that of elastic bands. The reason why it snaps back up is because the muscle actually acts like an elastic band.
Oh, like when they get down and they drink water and then their neck just goes
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely, and then it's like, bonk.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, okay. Very
so it's literally like an elastic band.
What about yourself, producer Shell?
Asian elephant.
Oh, ooh, epic.
With the tiny ears.
Oh, small ear elephants.
Yeah. They're so cute.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah, absolutely. Oi, so good. Shout out animals. Shout out how cute they are. No, I don't think any animals are listening to the show this morning, unless there's maybe a really smart dolphin out there
or
a dog, you know, who's in the kitchen or in the car with someone who's got our Faith FM turned on. Hey, let us know. 0491-064-669. An interesting animal fact and why you know, like that particular animal. You're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning, and we are going to get into Psalm 125, our last psalm for the week on the topic of longing for God in Zion, considering how God has established his city, not only here on earth, but in heaven as well. So let's start by reading the first two verses in Psalm 125.
I'll be reading the New King James Version. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth
and forever.
Okay, the people of God cannot be moved. What do you think about that idea, that concept of, hey, those who trust in God, they abide forever, they're like Mount Zion, they cannot be moved. You know, what does that look like to you?
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
Well, for me, I guess, I don't particularly know. I've got chess in my mind with the rook. For the idea of not actually being it cannot be moved. It's pretty solid. It moves into very far places once it actually has the space and ability to move.
Sure.
I don't know why that was the first thing that popped into my mind, but it's something that it reminds me of as well when Jesus says to have your house on the rock and not on the sand.
Mm.
So it's kind of talking about, because I remember Pavel Goya talking in one of his sermons that I listened to, where he was saying the reason why Jesus said to have it on the rock and not on the sand is because the Jordan River, it can decrease so much with the water, but then it can also be so wide, or it was a different river as well, one of the two.
Yeah.
And then if you had your house on the sand, when it gets to the wet season, your house is completely flooded out, destroyed. Mm. Whereas if you're on the rock, you're perfectly safe no matter the season.
Mm.
And that kind of gives me the idea of considering Jesus is the rock too. So we can be firm in the Lord because once our foundation is solid in him, we can't be moved. We trust in the Lord, and that is what keeps us afloat, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I really agree with you there that it's ultimately, it's God's doing here that enables, you know, our foundation is solid because it's his foundation.
Yeah.
You know, like it says here, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. But then it makes the point as to why. It's like, okay, why can't it be moved? Why does it abide forever?
Mm.
It says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Like,
yes,
it is God who is, you know, protecting the people. It's making like a geographical point here as well. And, you know, talking about natural fortresses, which the Temple Mount was a mountain itself, you know, and it was always beneficial for people to build on, you know, as best they could on some kind of raised plane or surface or whatnot, because it really helped with fortification if an army had to walk uphill towards a particular place that they wanted to besiege or destroy.
Mm-hmm.
It would cost so much more resources and energy to be able to do so and make it more difficult to attack, you know.
Definitely.
And it becomes from a defense point of view, if you're like on the wall looking down, you know, down a hill at someone, it's like, you know, whether you're an archer or a spearman or whatever it may be, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Like you are so fortified as a result. So, you know, not only is that positive, but also if there are mountains surrounding, if there's tough terrain, disallows or disenables people from being able to easily get to your city, it costs more and more resources. That's the main thing. And that was like most ancient warfare. I was actually having a conversation about this with someone yesterday. You know, most ancient wars were either fought out in the open on a plain where it'd be two armies fighting together, or it'd be an invasion and a besiegement, because cities back then, the majority of cities were either built on a high mountain or built somewhere with walls surrounding it. And, you know, it'd be very rare where there would be an army big enough that where they could just trample the city, unless it was smaller cities. But if it was like a big fortified city, a Jerusalem, a Babylon, you know, a Nineveh, something like this, one of these ancient great cities, it was impossible for even a massive army just to scale the wall and destroy the wall and just get through. Like, these walls were really well fortified, and if you came close to them, you know, you'd be able to just, you know, get rid of that. You just, from inside of the wall, whether it's by arrows or spears or whatever it may be, you'd be able to get rid of the invading force.
Mm.
So that would besiege cities, you know, that would basically cut off all supply lines and make sure that they'd starve the people out of the city, or, you know, weaken them to the point where they could attack. But furthermore, you know, if you are inside a fortified city, and it's very hard to get to that city because of all of the mountains and the difficult geography that surrounds it, you essentially shorten the time in which an opposing force can besiege that city, giving you a strong, you know, protected, firm foundation. And we're seeing here, you know, this psalm making the point, those who trust in the Lord, they're like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. It's pointing out a physical, a geographical, you know, warfare, military reality, but also a spiritual reality.
Absolutely.
As well.
Because we can't see the spiritual warfare. So it basically is giving that aspect of we can trust in God to protect us no matter the situation. He's the one that is the mountain that is just like, even though it may seem like you're being hard pressed on every single side, I am surrounding you.
Mm.
Like, I've got my armor completely all around you. I've got my holy angels working for me to protect you.
Yeah.
And like, it's the funny thing, actually. I was just thinking, there's a continuous amount of use in those who trust in the Lord.
Mm.
And it results in us, in a way, getting something out of it. It's similar to that when we have a relationship with someone, when we trust in someone, there's something that always kind of comes into the picture with it as well.
Yeah.
And there's so many promises that God actually gives when we trust in him. There's like the typical Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And that's trusting in the Lord in that prospect there. And then you've also got Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you.
Mm.
So the very fact that when we trust in God, we can have perfect peace. We are guided by God. He's intensely leading us somewhere that is right and in the plans that he has for us there in that aspect. And it's like, if you actually have a relationship with someone, you'd hope they'd have the best intentions for you. You have to trust that that is the situation in the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do we actually treat God with that sort of relationship? And that also can come down to how our relationship occurred with our earthly fathers that we've had. Did we actually have a good relationship with them or did we not? And if that's the case, then we need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us how good God is truly to us as God the Father.
Mm. But yeah, I resonate with one of the ideas that you shared there, you know, of the mutual benefit that we receive, but furthermore, I think the blessing that we become to people when we have our foundation in the Lord, like my mind goes immediately, Psalm 1, you know, blesses the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sins in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, classic passage. But his delight is in the Lord, the law of the Lord, and the law on the law he meditates day and night. But then verse 3 here says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So firstly, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's receiving. He's receiving so much. He's planted by the rivers of the water. But then it says here, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Amen.
It's like being blessed, being then a blessing to others.
Mm.
That idea there as well. And it's like, okay, so then we become a blessing. Now we become filled, we become a blessing to others. But then kind of balancing that out with Psalm 121, which is another classic. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From whence comes my help?
Mm.
My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He will keep, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
Mm.
And the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. What we're ultimately being told here, what's being portrayed to us, is the idea that, hey, God wants to establish you and help you to become a fortified, you know, strong person that is a blessing to other people.
Mm.
But simultaneously, he is the one protecting you. He's the one looking after you. And I feel like Psalm 125 is quite a short psalm, and it's kind of distilling all of those ideas down into the illustration of Mount Zion, that, you know, you'll be like a mountain Zion, which cannot be moved and abides forever. You know, Mount Zion, Jerusalem provides so much, but furthermore, it is surrounded and protected by the Lord.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And right now we're going to have our final quiz question for this week. We are spinning the wheel at 8:45, I should say. So final quiz question for the week.
The final quiz question is, in Song of Solomon, the beloved is more unique than how many queens? Is it 20 or 60?
Ah, okay.
In Song of Solomon, the beloved is more unique than how many queens, 20 or 60?
I want to ask you a question, Nikita, about this.
Yes.
How would you feel like, is it more of a compliment to say 20 or 60? Right? Like if someone said, you're more unique than 20 queens versus you're more unique than 60 queens. Like what's more of a compliment?
I mean, being more unique than one person is standard because we're all unique in our own ways.
Yeah.
60, I think, is a little kind of like, am I an insane asylum? Or
oh, okay. You've got doubts when you hear that. You're like,
yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know.
Because like 60 people, there can be a huge variety of personalities in there.
The beloved is more unique than how many queens? Is it 20 or 60? Let us know. 0491-064-669 is the number to text. If you text that number with the correct answer, you will go into the draw to win these amazing fact books. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. Let's continue on in our study in Psalms 125. Now, starting in verse 3. Now, verse 1 and 2 we've had.
Yes.
Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abide forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Then we continue on here. Do you want to pick it up for us in verse 3?
Can do. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel.
Okay, interesting here. So it says, hey, look, those who trust in God, they're solid like Mount Zion. Then it continues, it says, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on land allotted to the righteous. You know, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. So it says here that the scepter of wickedness is present.
Yes.
And, you know, it has the ability to lead those astray who are righteous. I think that's a really interesting concept, the idea that, hey, there is, you know, some wickedness taking place or there's wickedness around. You know, I'm seeing this as very metaphorical, you know, in the same way that, like, we don't literally become a mountain when we trust in God. You know, I'm seeing this as, hey, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Yeah.
There's the, because I was highlighting for the study for the Hebrew in this aspect, but it was talking about like the scepter of wickedness kind of referring to wicked rulers who aren't loyal to God or observe his commands there. So the very fact that when you've got rulers similar to Nebuchadnezzar and how he had that golden statue and just going, you need to bow down before this, and anyone who doesn't bow down, you get into the fiery furnace. So it's, they actually, like kings who don't follow God, they have huge sway over the people. And if you're not solid in your foundation of God, you're going to sway no matter what situation kind of thing. Because if you're not, it's either one way or the other in that sort of aspect. You can be influenced. Even if you do say, I'm pretty solid in this.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like, oh, maybe this once it won't affect me.
Yeah.
But in the long run, even the smallest decision, like with Daniel and his friends, they chose a vegetarian diet.
Yeah.
And that small decision actually enabled them to make such a huge choice, and it led them to be able to make the choices that they did in future compared to going like, oh, okay, maybe this once we can just dine on the luxuries of the king and God will like be with us. Like God is with them. But the choices you make, if you like sway one way or the other under the influence going like, oh, let's just quit here.
Yeah. Their impact was enabled because of their faithfulness to God, even in the small matters.
Yes.
And here, you know, I love that you brought that theme out, the scepter of wickedness, you know, talking about the leaders of, you know, the leadership or the monarchy or whatever it may be of a particular country, you know, and we look here to Israel. What's interesting to know is that both Israel and when it was divided into Israel and Judah, you know, had terrible kings. And the result of their leadership was the wholesale apostasy of the nation.
Yep.
You know, people worshipping foreign gods and idols and committing all kinds of atrocities as a result, whether it be, you know, child sacrifice, whatever it may be. So it's like very clear that, yeah, the leadership here was the one directing and guiding in that space. And, but it says, it makes a point here. It says, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands into iniquity.
Yes.
And it's like, but wait, didn't that happen? Like, didn't that take place? Like, the scepter of wickedness, like, wicked rulers did, you know, lay out onto Zion. And I think this is where we see a type and anti-type application. And that is to say that when this was written, you know, this is speaking to the literal Zion or the literal Jerusalem, which was, you know, there existing, you know, I don't think we know exactly when Psalm 125 was written, but let's say it was written during the period of David or the period of Solomon. It's like, yes, we have a righteous scepter. You know, we have righteous leadership. We don't have wicked leadership. Obviously that would change in later years. But again, the anti-typical application of this or the future application of this would be onto the heavenly Mount Zion, onto the new Jerusalem, the fact that there will never be wickedness again. There will never be sin or iniquity again. And that is because the leadership of Mount Zion will not be given to men. As the Bible says in Daniel chapter 2, which we were reading yesterday with Brett in the studio, we were saying that, oh, yes, this rock becomes a mountain. And that mountain is, you know, the kingdom of God. And it shall never be left to men. But it will be, you know, left to God ultimately. And we see that, hey, the government of heaven, the monarchy of heaven is not left to an earthly king, but rather it's ruled by God himself. Thus, there won't be wickedness. There won't be stumbling. There won't be falling. There will just be righteousness. And this is fantastic news. This is what we have to look forward to. But again, continues in verse 4, it says, do good, O Lord, to those who are good and those who are upright in their hearts. As for such that turn aside in crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. And we see this division here between the righteous and the wicked. We see the blessings and the favor of God fall on the righteous ultimately because they receive eternal life. Those who are wicked, the Bible says that they are led away. And we know, you know, looking at it into a end time context, they are destroyed for forever and for eternity. And I think this really reflects the words of Christ. When he deals with people who are deemed to be or sworn to be wicked, who receive redemption, because the context we need to look this in is like all righteousness comes from redemption. We've all been wicked, but we all make a choice for redemption. Jesus redeems people, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery. And then he says, hey, go and sin no more.
Yep.
We have been called by God to experience sanctification, to experience change in our heart.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And right now, it's time to spin the wheel. So many people actually on the wheel this week, and a bunch of people who answered like 20 plus questions correct. So, like, again, we have 25 questions throughout the week. I don't think we've ever seen that before, that this many people answer, like, as in, like, this many people answering this many questions correctly or having so many correct answers in.
You're correct. Yeah, this is a record week. We're going to have to give away this prize again, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody wants it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, but right now for Amazing Facts Volume 1, 2, and 3, we are going to spin that wheel. Let's go. Okay, it's spinning.
Who's it going to be?
It's spinning. It's spinning. Oh, it's slowing down.
And Denise.
And we have a winner. Congratulations to Denise. Yes, who has won the prizes. We'll get that one out to you.
She had 20 entries in. Well done, Denise.
Mate, that's how you go. If you stack the deck, then you win. Congratulations, Denise. We'll get that one out to you. We're not saying she cheated, by the way. We're saying that everyone has the opportunity to send in lots of answers.
Yeah, we've had many a week where only a person who's only got one answer in has won it. So, but obviously the odds are definitely more in your favor if you get more in.
That's right. Hey, fantastic work. Let's get through some of the answers for our quiz today.
Okay, so was Goliath a Philistine or an Egyptian?
He was a Philistine. He was one of the tallest and greatest and mightiest of the Philistines. I think, like, yeah, he was 9 foot tall or so, which is very, very tall. There aren't 9 foot people living on Earth at the moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a huge bloke, Goliath. And I think it's like the go-to word that people use now for something that's big, mm-hmm. you know, gigantic. They say, oh, that's a Goliath. You know, it's just huge. So yeah, Goliath. Well, obviously though, he was taunting Israel and he would lose his life for it mm-hmm. to the young shepherd boy, David. Yeah. So what it goes to show, hey, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah, true. You're not yep. wrong. True. Yep,
absolutely.
Okay, what happened first, the Exodus of Egypt or the fall of Jericho?
Yeah, the Exodus of Egypt. The mm-hmm. fall of Jericho would happen on their way to the Promised Land. Yes. So outside of the Exodus, but yeah, it would be the Exodus that would come first.
Yes. Now, true or false, Nicodemus is only mentioned in John's Gospel.
That is true. Nicodemus is mentioned as not only being, you know, the famous John chapter 3 mm-hmm. with one of the most famous verses in it, John chapter 3 and verse 16, but that would happen in a conversation with Nicodemus, who was yep. a famous Pharisee, I believe a member of the Sanhedrin as well. But we do know that Nicodemus was also the one that requested to take Christ's body to look after it and to be the one who helped, you know, with the burial and whatnot. So Nicodemus, despite being a famous teacher in Israel, you know, a Pharisee, a Sanhedrin member, would also be a faithful follower of Christ.
It'd be good to see him in heaven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which apostle told Christ he had left all to follow him? Was it James or Peter?
It was Peter. Yeah, and this happens in, you know, a certain situation where, you know, they're questioning over who is Christ and what has he done. And yeah, it's Peter who stands up. He says, you know, hey, we've left all to follow you. Like,
Yeah, it's interesting that I think all of the disciples did leave all to follow him, but Peter's the one who has to say, I left all to follow
him. Yeah. And that is usually the case.
That's the Peter character.
Yeah. And well, it's actually, you know, it's during the washing of they wash the feet of the disciples. Mm. You know, Jesus says to them, like, where I'm going, you can't come, which is on the cross, essentially. And there's a few questions that relate to his death on the cross where Jesus doesn't explicitly say something, but makes it clear to the disciples, like, hey, you can't do this with me. You know, when James and John says, hey, can we be on your left and right when you come into your glory? And Jesus coming into his glory would be hanging on the cross.
Yep.
And he's like, Jesus is like, probably not. Like, God is the one who's decided that. Peter, the same. He's like, why can't we come with you? Mm-hmm. He's like, no. And Peter's like, I would die and give everything for you. And then, you know, Jesus' response here would be, actually, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. So, yeah. Interesting situation that unfolds there. Then finally here, our last question.
Yes. In Song of Solomon, the beloved is more unique than how many queens, 20 or 60?
The answer was 60.
Yes.
And I think 60 is a better compliment. I think if you're more unique than 60 queens, like that versus 20 queens, I feel like, yeah, that's definitely more of a compliment, because it's saying like you're more unique than like so many other people who are in esteemed and established positions. You know, you're more unique. You're more, you know, royal. You're more elegant. You're more amazing than 60 queens.
Okay. That's a positive mindset. I was going straight to the negative.
Yeah, absolutely. But hey, congratulations if you answer questions correct. Congratulations, Denise, for winning the prizes as well. And right now, guys, we've come to the end of the show, come to the end of the week where, you know, it's moved by quickly. I'm sure you guys have been out there, been busy, been doing stuff. But hey, right now, end of the show, end of the week, as usual, we always give away something absolutely for free. What do we have there, Nikita?
We have End Time Living, Essential Truths for Troubled Times by Mark Finley. So, do you want to understand Bible prophecies?
Yes.
Find faith and hope.
Yes.
Explore the power of prayer.
Yes.
Gain release from past hurts. Learn to trust God even in a crisis. Survive Armageddon. Know that God is greater than your problems. Remember that God created you and redeemed you. Believe Jesus is coming again. This book will answer all of those points. You'll be led by Mark Finley to be able to understand, what does the Bible say about these certain situations? Do you want to learn about it? Do you want to actually grow in your faith with Christ? And do you want to be ready for his soon coming? It's so exciting that Jesus is coming soon. And all the better to actually have an excuse to be further in your Bible and have a little guide with you as well. So if you are interested in end time living, learning about fantastic Bible prophecies, so on and so forth, and gaining a stronger relationship with Christ, do text us at 049 0491-064-669, and the first person to text book will receive it.
Absolutely. Text through book at that number. We'll give that to you absolutely for free, guys. Hey, thank you for joining us on the show throughout the week. We have an amazing weekend coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, more content on Faith FM as well. But hey, we're encouraging. Go on down, find a local church to join and to be a part of if you don't have plans to do so. Guys, remember to talk faith, live faith, and act faith, and you'll grow strong in Jesus Christ.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.